Welcome back, Survivor fans. We are back in normal impromptu introduction mode. This is episode 7 of season 25 of Survivor.
I don't think this is impromptu. This is impromptu. This is the opposite of impromptu. It's like scripted and choreographed, right?
If this is the script, then it's a terrible script.
Well, right, but nonetheless, it's the same one we've done every other times, with the exception of last week. So, doesn't that make it not impromptu?
I guess I'm more shooting from the hip instead of trying to prefabricate anything.
That's true. It's welcome back, Survivor fans, and then from there, it's always like just a slight permutation of the previous one.
Correct.
Some attempt to work your way around saying the 25th season without making it sound like it's the 25th season that they're in the Philippines.
Right, exactly. That's the trap I realize, the corner that I paint myself in.
Yes, invariably every week you find yourself, ah, I have done it once again, foiled.
They really are not there for 25 seasons. But
foiled
for a while,
my own
it seemed
words.
Like we'd be in Samoa for 25 seasons. So maybe, you know, we should just be glad.
Indeed. Survivor Samoa, the retirement community.
I don't know if you caught it, but at the end, Chris, there was a casting announcement.
I did. I saw that, and I thought to myself, well, one, I need to reapply. And then two, I thought, well, actually, wait, I wonder if my old tape is like, if they keep it around and I'm still in the reel or whatever.
They have a tendency of hanging on to applicants.
That's true.
Bobby
like
Maria
some of the best candidates have even been pulled from other shows. Like little known fact, Parvati Shallow originally submitted her video for Amazing Race and was brought over to Survivor when something fell through. Maybe her partner for the race fell through.
There have been some at least one apprentice applicant who was put on Survivor.
Yep. So RC seems like she would be ripe for it.
Abby Maria was supposed to be on Survivor Token Cheese, but
really,
some sort of family emergency prevented it, and they just kind of held on to her. And
I certainly wish it would have been 6 seasons ago that she was on, so that I didn't have to deal with her now.
Yeah, you know, but as much as she's cringeworthy to watch, at least she stirs the
pot.
She stirs the pot. She's something to talk about for the show, and I appreciate her for that.
I guess.
You know, there aren't... You know, even Carter and Artis, our two resident mutes, are not the worst duds that we've seen on the show. Like, I was trying to think about, who are, the duds that you're just going to, tow along until the end? And, I think maybe Carter's is probably as close as it gets, but even he has a physical presence.
And he makes faces every once in a while. Have you noticed he makes some weird faces?
I think he just has a face like that. I think that's his face.
He's not making weird faces. That's just his face.
That's his face.
It's actually every once in a while he makes an unface.
What? An unface.
And he just looks, and then he just looks like he's not making a face.
Hmm. So most of the time it's face, and
right.
Sometimes it's unface.
Yeah, it's actually he's got a future career in the A team. Actually.
I don't know that I get the reference. Oh, Face.
That's,
There's a
Face
character
is the
face.
Name of the character. That's Bradley Cooper's character this time. I don't remember the actor first time around. I want to say it was Templeton Peck or something like that.
Wow. Jonathan Penner.
I don't know. Yeah, right, Jonathan Penner. Do you know Penner was on... I think he was on an episode of Seinfeld.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I'm going to do a little Wikipedia-ing of the A-Team, because I know I want to know who that actor was.
I'm going to go ahead and take advantage of the segue and talk about how we come back at the beginning of the episode to Penner. And I liked that he was antenna up. You know, you want to see the players realize that their name as the other name in the vote is a major red flag that needs to be dealt with. Some people are just like, oh, I survived, whatever, and they kind of play it off. But he understands how... tenuous his position is.
He does. For those who are wondering, Templeton Peck was the official name of the character referred to as Face, played by Dirk Benedict.
What?
So there you go.
Well, hey, thanks. I don't know what I'm going to do with that, but
exactly.
Templeton Peck.
Exactly.
I can see why he shortened it to Face.
He was the Face Man, is his nickname. I think that's because he's sort of like...
you know, he's the grift, right? He's the guy. He's the face of the con.
Right. Yeah. You need someone in the front, and then you have like Mr. T and everyone else in the back.
Exactly. Exactly. The bronze and the brain, and then the crazy. Anyway, back to the show. Yes, you're exactly right.
It's a Survivor podcast, Chris.
I made the exact same note that he's got a Spidey sense up, and he's acutely aware that a vote from somebody who's a unanimous cast off is not necessarily just a throwaway vote. It would be indicative of something else.
It would be different if him and Katie had had beef in the past.
Exactly.
But he realized, and he kind of even like tried to play cool around the rest of the group, like, oh, so like she just changed her mind on the vote. he kind of poked and prodded without letting them know that he's got antennas up.
Exactly, yeah. Like, he asked the question, Jeff Kent tried to, you know, somewhat, I wouldn't call it deftly, but he was, you know, he maneuvered decently to make it seem like it was a non-issue.
Yeah, he handled it better than Carter last week. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah, that's because we all told her we were going to vote Penner because we were planning to. I mean, wait a minute. What show is this?
I liked his line about how he's like, I forget that everyone else is lying sometimes. Like,
ooh, Penner? Yeah, oh, that's so true. I mean, that's so the human. Like we all think we're the schemer.
Scrambling for that many days. You know, scrambling for that many days and like trying to remember that, like, oh, yeah, all the stuff that I think I'm putting together could be based on absolute bluff and nonsense. So.
Exactly, yeah. It's the game of incomplete information on multiple levels. And, yeah, it's great that he's aware enough to have that moment and be like, you know, that sort of recentering moment of like, I'm not the master schemer I think I am here, even like, because that's what we all would do, right? I mean, you get involved in that, especially in a game like that where it's literally your life, you know,
right.
It's not just like sitting down for, you know, an hour and a half of poker. This is like, you're living it for, what are they at now? 18 days, 15
yeah,
days, something like that.
18 days. Yeah.
And so, you know, you in your mind, you think, oh, I got all these different great schemes going, and you forget, you know, that, hey, wait, there's actually about a dozen different great schemes going on. Some of them working better than others.
And I'm not aware of, you know, 90% of them.
Exactly. And I'm clued into mine and maybe, and hopefully the lion's share of a couple of others.
So it's merge day. We've been kind of seeing this coming from afar. The tribes are given 10 minutes to pack up their things, and it seemed like that was purely to highlight the fact that Malcolm was in a bind about trying to get his idol, you know, back out of sequestering.
Well, I wonder, did Abby get hers? I mean, had she? Because I feel like she had buried hers somewhere too. Did she even remember to get hers? Did it occur to her?
Nah, I'm pretty sure Pete reminded her, if nothing else.
You would hope so.
If she'd forgotten it, I feel like we've had a conventional being like, oh, and then I remember this and that, and then I remembered that I'd forgotten my life in this game.
Son of a.
No, I don't think you forget that.
One would hope. That said, I could see her, you know, she seems like a likely candidate out of, you know, those on the island there. She seems like a likely candidate to maybe have forgotten.
I think you're not giving Abby enough credit. I mean, I know she's pretty petty and hung up on some very small things. And for that, we can call her out.
However, well, right. Like, I could see her just fly out. 10 minutes! Why do we only have 10 minutes? You know, like, just getting all bent out of shape. You know, like, this girl clearly can get bent out of shape about anything you want her to. So, I'm just saying.
It's just a shame that we didn't get another shot of Pete once Abby and RC got into it again later on. Like,
right.
I mean, how much do you do, like, patting yourself on the back at that point? Like, man, I did.
I know. I mean, that's like, I mean, the best part is they got it. I mean, who knows how it all plays out? Maybe Abby ends up winning and it's all good. Who knows? But, you know, Abby, but part of me wonders, Abby's got to be watching these episodes now, like, kicking herself, like, wow, I got fooled. Like, yeah. I got played, like, actually, no, she's not thinking that, because I don't think she can go to that level, but.
No, but she's a fan of the show. I mean, I think she understands, like, she could appreciate someone manipulating her like that.
She doesn't strike me as the
You're
type
not giving
to
her enough credit. Like, she's an emotional player. She's not a terrible
Are you kidding me?
Player.
She does not strike me as the kind of person who is going to appreciate that she got it manipulated. Like, are you kidding me? There's no way. This woman flew off the handle about anything. It's, I don't think she's, I think she's teed off again about it, but, you know, deep down, it's really her just kicking herself for being played like a fiddle.
I'm gonna give her more credit on this one. I don't. Right. I'm not on your side on this. I think.
I'm very anti-Abby. I'm not.
I think she got caught up in this little cat fight with RC, and she's letting that get to her. But I think in other ways,
I think she's also intimidated by
distance.
RC.
Well, absolutely. I think a lot of women would be. She's like tall, right. attractive, well endowed. Like, there's a lot of things going for her, and she's intelligent too. So, like,
she's smart. You know, she's a lot, like, very, very physically adept, as she displayed.
There's
in
a lot
that
to be threatened
challenge.
By.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be threatened by. Okay. So, Scoopin gives a nice little breakdown of what exactly is going on. That, you know, Peter and Abby are kind of quietly scoping things out, worried about losing their grip on the game, and thinking about how he and RC can flip and change things over. And then they cut to this conversation that RC was having with Abby and someone else. Mm-hmm. And if she had just... I mean, could she have played it as like, oh, you know,
was
I'll talk to them.
Was this the conversation where they're like, you can do recon?
Yeah.
Abby and RC.
And she kind of mentioned that, like, oh, but we haven't all gotten along. And I think like she lost an opportunity there.
Huge, yes.
To kind of appear loyal, but still work in her best interests.
Yes, she's so... things could have gone very different for her in this episode had she played that conversation differently. I say could. I'm not saying that definitely they would, but yes.
Right, but if
you and I
not
both picked up on that.
If she had not called attention to the fact that, they'd been through some struggles, but... You know, usually with the merge, that kind of, you know, absolves some sins and people kind of have to trust, you know, because ideally for the people in power in Tandang, they'd like to keep it as a 7 that they don't have to worry about.
You know what it is? It's like we said, it's when you don't go to tribal council, no real alliances are formed,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
There's no testing of those bonds. And so, you know, they're coming in untested. You know, as Probst points out later on, you know, the only tribe to never have visited tribal council.
But, But you and I are making the same point. She missed an opportunity to work in her best interest while at the same time seeming loyal.
Yeah. I mean, that's so one of those things. It's like you think it, and you use that information to your advantage. You don't say it. And even if Abby is thinking the exact same thing, like, we're not one big happy family, but hey, if you want to go do some data recon and come and report back to us,
and
like,
you can, guess what, you come back
it.
And you tell them whatever you want, you know,
right? Exactly.
You tell them whatever you want.
Exactly.
And as long as you can make it hold up.
Yeah, that was so. That seemed very out of character for RC.
Yeah, it was a mess.
I felt like
it was a mess up.
Yeah, it was.
All right. So the group's building a new shelter, and Blair, the doting mother. Besides, she's going to dig through everyone's bags and hang up the clothes, which is such a mom thing. My God. I would never have thought of that in a million years. You know? Never.
I wouldn't have thought to do it to my own bag, let alone anybody else's.
Exactly. This is like, you know, 18 days on the island, she's still a mom.
Exactly. It's totally true. Totally true.
So digging through the bags, you can see where this is going. Like, she finds Malcolm's idol, which was wrapped up, and Malcolm says, I assumed an hour was a safe amount of time to not worry about that. But
but of course, Mom wants everybody to have clean clothes on the island.
The way the show is cut, it just seems like there's always these opportunities for the people to get away and, like, do whatever it is they need to do. And you would have thought that Malcolm could have taken a minute to kind of, like, drift off on his own and take care of that. But
I don't know. That's the sort of thing that I feel like, you know, it's either buried where I know where it is, or it's in my pocket.
Yeah.
You know, like, and anything else is, you know, you're just asking for trouble, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there were past seasons where people would snoop through each other's bags.
Right.
And find that they had idols and stuff,
right.
So.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You know, it's so, you know, I don't know how, but Malcolm got together with Denise real quick and talked about what was going to happen, and
right.
Then he grabs Blair and pulls her aside. It's like, how could he have pulled those two aside and not have found time for himself to kind of just bury them?
Right. I think he fell asleep at the wheel is what it really is, and, you know, he got caught up in the, you know, in the merge feast and, you know, the, like...
Shelter building,
feeling everybody out.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he was like, uh-oh, she's ruffling through bags. Like, I can't dart over there now and, like, swipe my bag away from her before she gets a chance to open it up, but...
I don't know how you feel, but I feel like this is the best episode of the season, just looking at how all these different, you know, previous and,
yes.
and upcoming relationships were going to break out, because...
Yes. There's a bunch of small allies.
Yeah, you had the little alliances that needed to break into two, and it was unclear which way each of those would flip, and you were kind of surprised at how who would team with who and for what reasons. And I felt like you know, it's like, and I connect that to like Malcolm pulling you know Lisa aside and saying, "Hey, you can be with us." As part of a three, and mm-hmm. Lisa doing the smart thing and saying, yeah, that sounds great, but at the same time being like,
I'm skeptical.
I don't think this is anything yet.
Right. Well, yeah, she was very much aware that that was born solely out of the fact that she had...
So she had information on him, like, right, yeah.
Exactly. This yeah, is hush so. Information right
as,
now.
As much as RC misstepped, I feel like Lisa/Blair... hit the right spots here. She didn't make Malcolm paranoid. Mm-hmm. She agreed to everything without overcommitting herself, and mm-hmm. you know she's in a good spot. Like, I mean, ultimately, if she stabs Malcolm and Denise in the back, are they going to hold any ill will at Final Tribal? I don't think so. I mean, you know, it was like she clearly didn't try to do what she was doing, and she ended up in that position.
Right.
So.
No. Yeah.
You know, Jonas. A common friend/pod listener, Jonas, he tweeted out, he said, I need a Venn diagram or flowchart to sort out the hashtag Survivor post-merge alliances. And he says, Ralph and Chris, I'm looking at you.
A Venn diagram. That's a good call. I mean, there's like, that's a good way of looking at it. I mean, because you've got so many, and it's actually more like, it looks, in my mind, it's more of a chain necklace or something.
And these are the links?
Yeah, and the alliances are the links, and they like every person is in an overlap, and that's, you know, it's like there's a lot of pairs that all overlap in different directions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with a few chains that, you know, that are spurs off of the loop. But
Abby.
But I mean, that's the weird thing, is the largest true alliance also appears to be completely disconnected from everybody else. Like, Abby, Pete, well, I guess Pete is sort of connected to everybody.
Pete, but you've got, Abby, Artis, and Blair.
Yeah, those four are semi-disconnected. Pete is the closest thing to a connection, and he seems sort of connected to Malcolm, sort of connected to Jeff Kent now. But then you've got Jeff, who's got...
Carter under his wing.
He's bonded with Penner. He's bonded with Denise. You've got Denise bonded to Malcolm. You've got Malcolm
bonded to
Blair a little bit. He's bonded to Pete a little bit. I mean, it's all over. It's very circular, and it's like...
Yeah. You'll notice we're not talking about RC in any of this. Like,
well,
RC,
I mean,
really...
well, RC, they're the RC and Scoopin are seemingly the floaters that could, you know, could go to either side. I mean, they're the, you know, they're the part of the wishbone that you're looking for, you'd think. You know, when you break the wishbone and whoever gets the bigger end.
I get it.
End, right?
Yeah. They're the little nubbin on top.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought it was really interesting to see, like, I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know, if all of Old Tandang supposedly is doing this split vote thing, and it's just Jeff Kent who's coming along for the ride to give them 8 so they can go 4-4, but then Scoopin and RC actually flip over to Calabao,
mm-hmm. and it's Jeff and Carter and Denise going then, over to...
Well, then in theory, yeah, then you have Jeff, Carter, Denise, so there's five in that alliance, and that's two votes out of the four that Penner were going to get that would disappear in theory. So now you end up going 4-2 RC and Penner, and then it's and then five votes for whoever those five wanted to go for. Now, of course, I feel like it didn't become clear until later in this episode how much Carter is just sort of following Jeff Kent around.
Oh yeah, no, that's totally what's going on there. But
yeah, I was not really that acutely aware of that until this episode.
Well, I knew it when they were talking about deciding on Penner or Katie.
Oh, that's true. Last week, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that could, if it had fallen that way, it could have been really interesting. You know, to see how things spin there.
I still thought it still, was a lot of unsettled business about who was going to go where and for what reasons. And,
oh, yeah.
And I thought Jeff Kent, who unexpectedly turns out to be a great confessional guy, he really laid it out. He's like, look, I can go with the two ex-players who I don't want to see win, mm-hmm. or I can go with the bottom, being the bottom of this yellow side, and try to find my way out of that.
He's such a fool. Like, he's so... He is his own foil. Like, he is so hung up on this returner thing. Like, mm-hmm. who the heck cares? Like, it's... Like, it's just another guy. It's not like if that guy wins, you owe him $1 million. Like, it's all the same. It's either you there's everybody
or
else.
Something else that you don't want. Regardless.
Right, like, who cares? Like, you're
there to win. Apparently he cares. Apparently he thinks that as long as it's not one of them, he's okay with it not being him.
I mean, I guess this is the attitude of a guy who made, you know, $90 million over his career,
right.
or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, so, right. you know, it's a lot easier to say that when you're Jeff Kent than right. when you're, well, basically anybody else on that on that island. But he's so playing the short game. You know, he's not playing the long game, and he's focused on I want to be there longer than these two guys. I got to make sure these two guys don't win. Like, I got news for you. You got to make sure 17 people don't win. You know, like,
right? Yeah, you've taken care of
and ultimately,
six already,
you know,
and...
like to get to the back to the Sandra Diaz mentality. It's, you know, as long as it ain't me, we're cool. You know.
Doesn't that seem to be it, though? She's really distilled it down to, like, the essence.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
As long as it ain't me.
That is the epitome of her approach to the game. I mean,
the only double winner.
She's the only double winner, yeah. And, which, is just awful. Like, so, Heroes versus Villains so deserved to be one of Russell or Parvati. You know, that to me, though, was, like, it was kind of although I think she ended up taking so many votes that she had a supermajority. Or she had a majority, not just a plurality.
Right. She did.
But conceivably that, you know, Russell and Parv neither of them may have won under that sort of, like, you know, two MVP candidates from one baseball team sort of mentality, you know, like
feeling
they end up splitting votes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They split the votes from the people who will respect that sort of gameplay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's such a short-sighted game because he's like, if you want to outlast Scoopin' and Penner, then why isn't Scoopin' the one you're focused on? Because Scoopin' has no allegiance to you. Penner has actual allegiance to you.
Yeah.
Penner will go with you. And so, like, why are you giving up one of your own guys?
Yeah, the way I see it, I mean, it was pretty straightforward for me in terms of what he could do and still preserve his desires. He can avoid being on the bottom with yellow by taking on mm-hmm. Scoopin' and RC, being in the strong half of his alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Use those six to vote off any member of Tandang. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then he gets to vote off Penner next week. You just be like, hey, we're voting off Penner.
That was the way to go. I mean,
and then,
yeah,
then you go into that next time 5-4 without Penner. You're at the top of your alliance. You're running the game. You know, mm-hmm. and things change. I get that, but
it's just it was so much that more that was so much the smarter move. It would have been to do that.
He's taking the much more uphill track.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's at the bottom of the yellow line, literally.
And Tandang was they wouldn't have even, I mean, actually, they know, I don't know why they didn't just put it all on Scoopin. Because it's the best of both worlds for everybody. Tandang gets to vote out somebody they've wanted to get rid of for a while. They can serve rice. So maybe it's the best of three worlds now. Maybe four when you add in just, you know, nobody's walking around camp worrying, you know, did Mike injure himself again today? And Jeff Kent doesn't have to vote out somebody from his own alliance. Like, everybody wins there. And Tandang can sleep at night knowing that they were in under this merge 7-4. So losing one is no big whoop.
Right.
I mean, that was just, I don't know how that didn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
Or why they didn't just make it.
We've somehow jumped ahead of ourselves, and I take some of the credit for that, but
no,
yeah, we really got
whatever.
Ahead of ourselves. So,
yeah, we got to get back to the immunity challenge.
Let's get to the immunity challenge. So it was the kind you like. It was straight endurance and want to, and,
yep.
You know, can you ignore the pain long enough to secure your place in the game further? And
so I have an immediate question here.
Yeah.
Why is it one of each gender? Isn't the, like, the bucket having a quarter of your own body weight supposed to balance that sort of thing out?
I don't have an answer to that. I think it's more accounting for differences in physiology. You know, just,
well, right.
You know, men are just larger percentages of muscle in general. So
I don't know, but that weighs a lot, so you end up having to hold more.
No, yeah, I see the argument both ways, but right. I think they're kind of covering their butts, you know, in terms of making sure that,
I guess. I don't know. I think it's, like, this reminds me of that challenge. Goodness, I don't remember exactly where it was. Was it the Jimmy Johnson season, maybe?
Where they had to hold the knife, like with the hooks? There was
No.
That was a male, that was a male and female winner, too, where they just had to hold the knife with hooks.
I'm thinking of the one where there was, like, the country boy who's, like, 25, I think he was a country singer, actually, and then, like, the crazy old lady.
Yeah, that was that challenge.
No, but they weren't holding the hooks. They were leaning on something over water.
Holding rope?
Yeah,
holding rope.
Water. Yeah.
And they, like, changed the angle of it?
And they were holding their own body weight up. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was. And it was the two of them, and she ended up outlasting him, I think. Or at least at the very least, it was just the two of them.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is way cooler to see than, like, you know...
That was the same season, though. Those two challenges
surprise,
were the same season.
Big surprise, Denise won, you know? Like, I mean, was that not... I wrote down right away, early favorites, Denise and Carter. I swear to God...
I'm not...
The God that I don't believe in.
I'm not... I'm not questioning you.
Denise and Carter, I mean... I'm not going to take credit for Denise. I think anybody who's been paying half a lick of attention to the season could have called the Denise pick.
Did you imagine it being so comfortable? Because she hadn't moved an inch. She
of course
in,
it was going to be.
Locked in, hadn't gone.
Blair, Abby, who is on her, like this is like her first challenge since showing up on the show. and Blair, like, you know, that's a walkover. I mean, she posted her big blind, everybody else folded, and she said, I'll take it. I mean, that was a major walk, that challenge for her.
I think you went over about 90% of our audience, but that's all right.
Perhaps. And I guess really that was more of an a strong under-the-gun raise for her.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Someone said during the awarding of the necklace ceremony, this is the first time she's been immune.
Yeah.
And it was totally right. I loved that. I loved someone pointing that out. I was like, oh, my God.
Well, you know
God,
who it was.
Totally right.
It was Malcolm who pointed out. Yeah. This is the first time she's been immune, period. Like, overall immunity. Like, she has been at risk at every tribal council.
Correct. Yeah.
And actually, I did write that down right when they merged. I said, it's official, Denise will attend every tribal council.
Yeah, that's right. Whether as a member of the tribe or the jury.
Yep. Tribe, jury, whatever. She will have attended every tribal council. She and Probst will be tight. Or wait a minute. Actually, is RC the first member of the
tribe? Well, he didn't mention that. That's just what I was about to say. He didn't mention that.
That's true. So actually, yeah.
So there was a chance she might not have been.
But, are we going to go with, like, 7 and 3? Like, 7 jury, 3
Yeah, maybe.
Left?
I think 7 is a good number because it's just really hard to end up with ties that way.
Right. It would be very difficult then. Yeah. Well,
you know, I think the only way to end up with a tie is 3-3-1. Yeah. Actually, it's not really the only. It is the only.
Right.
Or you could do, I don't know, I mean, I think you could also do 8, who knows? I mean, they're not going to do 8, it looks like. At least not 8 with 3 finalists. Could do 8 with 2 finalists now.
That would be terrible.
Or maybe we weren't paying very, what's that? Yeah, that would be...
No, I don't think we missed it. He's usually very explicit about it.
That's true. I lost my train of thought there.
Oh, we were talking about Jeff and the jury and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. And Carter. Oh, yeah, my other choice, Carter being... Carter, I just had, because, like, he's very lean, but he's got just enough muscle, I felt like he'd be able to pull it off. Like,
yeah, no,
Pete Malcolm, I thought, would be too big, so they'd have too much weight they had to hold.
You think Carter, Jeff Kent had too much weight?
I did, actually. However, this is a man who's made his living gripping something that is about that diameter.
Yeah, I don't know that Jeff's face is so signature that people should be able to identify him. You know, it's not like, you know, you always know your baseball players by face. They are wearing hats all the time. You know, like,
yeah, it's not like the NBA. You know,
yeah,
that's the
it's
thing
not the NBA
has
at
going
all.
For it because you don't wear hats or helmets or anything.
Right.
I don't know. I've actually thought about this a little bit, like how much, like what are the chances I would have recognized him if I ended up on this season?
For me, 100%. You know, facial memory is one of the gifts that God's given me.
Oh, yeah. I think I probably would have recognized him. Whether or not I would have placed him, I don't know. Like, I definitely have good facial recognition. I don't have the connections so well sometimes, though.
You had to figure that out with a couple days. What else is there to do, Chris?
That's true. I'd definitely be sitting out there just racking my brain. I got all the time in the world to go through every single male face I've encountered in my lifetime. But I actually thought there was a moment there where just the way they had scripted cut the show, there was a moment where I thought maybe somebody was about to out him. Because he talked about, like, it looks like nobody recognizes me. And then there's just the way the music was going, I was half expecting, like, you know, Penner, or no, not Penner, Penner's on his tribe, you know, Scoopin' or Artis or somebody to be
right.
Like, hey, aren't you, isn't this guy a baseball player, you know?
Where have I seen you before? At least one of those, like, where have I seen you before?
Right, you look very familiar.
It's so familiar.
Which, by the way, you gotta love Penner, like, just saying it out and out to her, like, so nobody's noticed, huh? to Blair.
Right, yeah.
And
there were a lot of these nice little one-on-ones. It seemed like a chain. Like, it was like this guy and this guy, and then the second guy would be with a different person, then that guy would be with a different person. Yeah. You really got to see
the
how
funny
these
thing about Penner
relationships
is
that, you
know, he's an actor, so it's sort of like he's connected, like, I don't know, I feel like there was some sort of, like, subtext in that conversation with them, like some sort of, like, underlying bond, even though, you know, their careers probably overlapped by 5 years, if at the most, because she's, I mean, what, the last time she was on the air was probably 92, 3, something like that.
I couldn't tell you.
Or at least on the air in a new episode or whatever. Of Facts of Life.
Yeah. That's easily deduced. Right. All right, so where are we? Scoopin' pulls Jeff Kent aside, and I liked the little speech he kind of gave him. He says,
"Oh yeah, the
Peter, Abby, and Artis are too rude to control this game. Too rude to control the game." It's an interesting turn of phrase.
Well, what are you questioning?
Well, just the way he phrased it. And most people would kind of talk about, like, the instability of whatever, and to phrase it as too rude to control the game, as if, you know, being courteous was some sort of way of staying in control of the game.
Oh, I think that was just more a commentary on what I think what he really meant was they're too rude for me to let them control this game.
Hmm.
You know, like if they were nice, I probably would sit by and let them control this game, and I would just, you know, let them run things, and I would just vote.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
kept me around.
Ultimately, what they're getting to is the fact that you have to respect people if you're going to allow them to make the calls. You know,
right.
And I think he has no respect for how they handle themselves, and I completely see what they're talking about. So.
Right. Although, is Peter, I mean, his beef with Pete is he says he feels like he's only said maybe four words to him.
Right.
I mean, is, I just,
maybe he's overheard the confessionals. Maybe he's overheard
yeah.
Peter calling him the worst player in Survivor history. Who knows?
Yeah, I've never gotten that much of an abrasiveness from Pete. But then again, I guess when you're standing next to Abby, it's easy to look like
prickly.
You know, yeah. yeah. It's standing next to Abby, it's easy to look like the picture of, congeniality.
So. Well, you really are the anti Abby, you know, flag bearer.
I can't stand her. She's worthless to me.
Worse than the special ed teacher from last year. What was her name? Rose? No, not Rose.
No, I don't remember her name. It was definitely not Rose.
It had an IE at the end. Or was it like Alyssa? I don't know.
I think actually that was it. I think it was Alyssa, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
She was at least like, I don't know. She was an idiot, but she was more an idiot in the confessionals, I feel like, than anything else. You know, like, She just had a few moments here or there. Like, Abby, it's like, you're just waiting for it to happen with Abby, I feel like. And
I
on
don't
top
see
it
of your
it,
way. I just don't. I just
see... On top of it, I just feel like it's, you know, she's been in two challenges.
I don't fault her for that at all. Not her fault.
I guess. I don't know. You think that's just smart play?
That's just smart play on the fact on the part of her tribe. That's just smart play.
I guess, maybe. I don't know.
All right, let's cut to tribal. Jeff says we've got some history from Tan Dang never going to tribal and Denise going to all of them. And now Scoopin's wearing a white t-shirt for some reason, which looked really out of place.
It did. I noticed that, too. It was strange. I took issue a little bit with... excuse me. I took issue a little bit with Probst's claim that that Tan Dang is the first tribe to never go to tribal council. You know, because it's the one that came to mind was from Survivor Palau.
Yeah.
Stephanie's season where her tribe lost every single immunity challenge, and she was the only one that survived into the merge. There are two grounds on which Probst is technically right. One, Koror, the opposing tribe, did go to tribal council once in the middle of that string of victories, purely because they scheduled it to be a double elimination week and were going to send both tribes to tribal council no matter what, regardless of the outcome of the challenge. I think the challenge, you simply
reward.
You won reward, or I think actually you won the right to observe the other's tribal council or something.
I wonder how important that is. If that's really like,
I don't think it's that important because otherwise they'd still be doing it. I think, but that to me is very much a technicality because Koror still basically did. They avoided as many tribal councils as they possibly could have.
Yeah.
The other technicality is. That tribe, when they merged, they didn't bother creating a new tribe name. They merged
Koror.
And just called themselves Koror. And I think Stephanie went along with it. She's like, "That's the right thing to do. Like, I'm joining Koror. This is not a merged tribe. This is Koror, and they're just letting me hang out here because I got nobody else to be with."
I can't have a tribe of one go in there and compete.
Right?
Like,
exactly. Sense. Exactly. Which then, of course, you know, that's another good question that just occurred to me. I wonder how many people have been, like, so Bobby John, who was the second-to-last member of her tribe, he gets eliminated because when the two of them go to tribal, they can't obviously vote. So they ended up doing a fire challenge,
right.
And she won it. And so he was eliminated, but not...
voted out.
not voted out. And so I'd be interested to see the number of people who were eliminated but not voted out. And I think it's got to be under, I think it's under a handful. Probably under three. I think there was that Purple Rock situation.
Without being medevaced, you mean?
Without correct. Being, yeah. Yeah. Without. Yeah. For, yeah. Ignoring self withdrawals and medevacs. Yeah.
Right.
You know, like who was it? Jenna Maraska, I think, in the All Stars, removed herself because she suddenly felt very guilty about, you know, leaving her mother who was ill and stuff like that.
Right. But you're referring to fire eliminations, rocks of that.
Ilk. Yeah. I want to say there's three, and I just
three?
Can't remember who.
Three
it
went
is.
Out on a fire.
Oh, did you? Okay, so that's the one I was not remembering.
Yeah.
And there's Bobby John, Suri, and then there's the famous Purple Rock situation from Marquesas.
There's a guy went out, right?
Yeah, I think it was Pascal.
That's
was
right.
The guy's name.
That's right.
So I think it might be just those three. Anyway, we've deviated.
Blair makes a statement that says, you know, Jeff's asking about flipping, blah, 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 and she says that if you flip, it shows you can't be trusting your alliance, and my issue with that is they never were an alliance because they never went to tribal. You know,
yeah, like, I would agree with that.
I think they're given a pass on this one. I think Scoopin and RC can flip here without feeling any guilt about any prior loyalties,
exactly,
because there were no loyalties. So.
Yeah, there's no such thing as an alliance until you voted.
Right. And then you Jeff know, Probst goes about calling out that like RC and Scoopin are free agents, and Denise and Malcolm have a thing. I felt like, well, this is very forward, just kind of putting it out there.
Yeah.
Seems a little intrusive.
Yeah, I forget how they... Did Blair call them out? I feel like Blair could not... Like, this is Blair and every other member of Tandangs. Well, with the
first tribal.
Malcolm. First Tribal Council. I feel like Blair could not wait for Tribal Council. She was talking it up.
Talk.
Probst didn't even have to, like, tease the questions right. or tease it
she
out of her with
very
questions.
Very good as a summarizer.
Like... She was just ready to, like, put a bow on all of what's
well,
going on for
Jeff, her. Let me tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like she misses her gossip or, little, yeah. like, a little yeah. coffee click
right.
or something.
Yeah. It was very trying out for the view sort of.
yeah, exactly. Let me get out my coffee cup here. I'll talk it up with Barbara Walters and Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck, right, yeah.
Exactly. Get our old Survivor Outback contestant.
All right. I don't know what else there is to discuss. Penner, I guess, playing his idol.
Yeah, Penner played the idol, which I was worried that it might have been wasted. Turned out it was not remotely wasted.
No.
He was very much in tune with what was happening.
Good for him.
Yes, very good for him. I am very much looking forward to
what was the last idol we saw that actually did something? Was it... How far back do you have to go?
Well, I mean, there was Ozzy, right? Because he gave an idol to somebody, and then he, like, there was some, at least, didn't he? I can't remember how it played
I can't
out.
Remember. I mean, as far back as I can remember, like, it hasn't really been effective since, like, Heroes Villains.
No, because I'm almost certain that it played at some point.
And made a difference?
Yeah, in the Ozzy coach season. I could totally be wrong. What season was that? That was South Pacific? Yeah, that was Survivor South Pacific. Yeah, because there was the episode where Ozzy like determines that he wants to go to Redemption Island, right?
I don't recall specifically this episode, but
and I feel like he was gonna excuse me. I feel like he was gonna like he gave his hidden immunity idol to Cochran or one of them, or did he take it with him? No, that's right. He took it with him to
Redemption, planning to come
to
back.
To Redemption, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Brandon played one that at one point that season.
And it made a difference? Like.
I don't know. I see Brandon. I'm noticing in the... Oh, no, wait. He gave up his reward. Just kidding. I'm looking at the wrong thing.
And they got voted out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It would take too much reading here to actually find it.
Well, yeah, it's been a while, so it's always good to see one actually have an impact that's supposed to have.
It is. Yes,
end up in vote splitting. So.
And I am very much looking forward. Like, I feel like this is the next episode could turn out to be really good because, you know, there's nothing like having a player with nothing to lose. B, a player of Penner's experience with nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And thus even more so acutely aware of how he has nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And no one's going to be faithful to him anyway.
Right.
So why not start mixing things up and
just set the camp on fire, see what happens.
Exactly.
And both literally and metaphorically. I mean, like,
yeah.
Literally set on fire and then just set everyone's relationships on fire and see what happens.
Right. The way the votes fell, I was surprised by. Like, the counts were not where I expected them to be.
It was 4-4-2.
No, because there are 11 people on that tribe.
Sorry.
It was 5-4-2, so Penner would have gone home. Penner had 5 votes.
Yeah.
And he got votes from Abby, Blair, a.k.a. Lisa, Malcolm and Denise, and Scoopin.
Scoopin?
Scoopin voted for Penner.
Scoopin.
And
the votes for Peter came from RC and...
And Penner.
Penner.
And that was it. And then RC got votes from Pete, Artis, Carter, and Jeff Kent. Uh-huh. And... that just was really interesting to me because it just seemed like Scoopin and RC were fairly tight, and I guess that was more so from RC's end, and Scoopin is really just looking to make sure Scoopin seems to be gravitating towards the Sandra Diaz approach, you know, exactly, like even if it means voting out for the person who I sort of feel like I'm in an alliance with, who cares? Like, it looks like. Because at the very least, it looks like Penner is next anyway after that, so I don't have to worry, you know? But I was surprised by that, and I was surprised that Kent and Carter switched. And then on top of it that...
I'm not surprised, I'm just disappointed. I just don't...
Yeah,
you're
right.
It's
that's
just
the
maddening that they don't see what we see, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well,
but that's what we're going to do. Chris,
and then like... Denise, you know, that was a good question Stacey actually asked. She felt like, or maybe you asked this earlier in the episode, earlier in this.
I'm easily confused with Stacey, I know.
How little it appeared Malcolm was, like, reconnecting with Denise overall.
I don't feel that way.
Like, well, like, when they were having that discussion about, like, I mean, I guess then again, maybe he's just playing coy.
Yeah.
But
and there was a lot
when they were having that discussion
episode,
of like...
There was a lot of other things happening that did not center on Malcolm and Denise.
Well, right, but like they were talking about Yellow having 7 votes, and if they had just one more, then they'd be able to split them across Penner and RC.
Uh-huh.
And it was just surprising he never brought up, like, well, I can easily get Denise because, like, Denise is going to be way more loyal to me than she is to Penner.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was just odd that never came up. Of his own volition or of somebody else, like, I mean, it's so obvious that the two of them would have a good bond by now.
Mm-hmm.
If for no other reason than clearly they voted with each other.
Maybe they're just being smart and playing it cool so that people don't think they're a couple. You
yeah,
know?
That's true. That's true. That
could
be just
part
him
of
playing
the plan.
Coy. But, yeah.
All right. On our way out, RC says... Yeah, I made it pretty far, so I'm proud of myself. And I thought, this was your first tribal council you got voted out. So, you did
yeah, that's
as poorly
not very
as you
far.
Could.
That's true. That's a very astute analysis on
I
your
part. I feel like
part
there. Of our job, Chris, is just to put everyone on blast for, like, saying really dumb things.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's, yeah. Like, you, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. It's, you could, like...
You could argue like, that she kept herself out of tribal in that swimming challenge. I read
true.
Some sort of news piece on her. Apparently she's like a state champion swimmer.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right.
She and her sister and her father team swam the English Channel. Like, they swam for an hour at a time trading out. They did it in under 9 hours.
Wow. I don't even know what that means. I mean, I know what that means. You could tell me, you could quote me 9 hours, tell me that's fast. You could quote me 35 hours.
Well, how about swimming 3 1-hour legs? Could you do that in any waters? No.
Probably not. No. Certainly not live waters. I could do it in a tub.
Maybe. Just thrash around for an hour, but we're talking about the English fucking channel. Sorry. I'm just making this whole thing. We're going to lose our rating.
I know. I
cussed twice last episode. Like, what's wrong
with
me?
But you didn't. But they weren't F's, though. They were S's, weren't they?
I
don't remember. But I feel like this is the first F we've dropped, and we made it, 47 episodes?
No, I feel like first episode you definitely dropped a few before I had to sort of shut that down.
I dropped a few?
Yeah.
Did I really?
Yeah, go back and listen to the debut of the Merge.
Oh, wow.
The pre-Tribal Council.
That's right, the Merge, right, yes. Back in our pre-Tribal Council days.
Right.
Oh, all right, let's
wrap this up. Chris, what's our social media presence?
Our social media, it's not really a social media presence so much as it's just an account.
Existence. Social media existence.
Yeah. Seeing as I haven't, I don't think I've tweeted the link of any of our episodes.
And the problem being that you don't know our password anymore, right? That's what the problem was?
I mean, I could easily get that. I could easily get access if I tried.
Because maybe websites come up with a way to help you retrieve that information, or at least correct it.
They do.
If only there was a way.
And it doesn't involve you calling tech support and tech support asking you for the password. which, for those of you wondering why I'd bring that up out there, I had an experience like that with my web host company. So not just any tech support.
I feel like
but,
that's the first rule of customer service online, is that you would never ask for your password.
Yes, like this, and that's that's true of tech support companies, or I mean tech support departments for any company. Like, tech support at the school I teach at, which consists of 8 people total, and are there to support teachers, not to do anything highly techy. I mean, it's highly techy in
it's
general.
Like, can
but
you
it's
open
not...
this Word file?
But everybody knows this. This is, and meanwhile, I'm talking to a company whose business is information technology. And the guy was asking me for his password. I was reading him. I was giving him a lesson. I'm like, no, that is that's the first thing you don't do is ask for the password over the phone. Well, sir, we keep it confidential. Yeah, okay, great. You know what confidential means? I know it. Nobody else does. That's what confidential means. 3 can keep a secret if 2 of them are dead.
Tell us how you really feel about this, Chris. Don't hold
back. I love
back.
It.
It's
Which
okay.
actually, this actually reminds me of. In high school, we had to come up with illustrations for adages and proverbs or whatever, all those sayings. And someone picked the 3 can keep a secret if 3 people can keep a secret if 2 are dead. The illustration, I mean, it could not have been more spot on. Just a picture of O.J. Simpson, Nicole Brown Simpson, Ron Goldman.
So brutal.
I mean, is that poignant or what?
Oh my God, that's so much truth.
What? I mean, it's and the best part is the secret isn't, it's not necessarily the secret everybody wants to believe is the secret that he did do it. Either way, the secret is
what happened that night.
It's what happened. It's which way did it go? It could go either way. Either way, it's a secret that 3 of them know the answer to, and 2 of them are dead. Boom goes the dynamite.
If you have the over-under on 4 minutes of how much stuff we talk about after we finished wrapping up Tribal Council... It went over this week.
Oh,
just like
Ralph,
it did last week. So,
Ralph, you need to save that for
shame
our
on you.
Betting
shame
podcast.
On you for still listening.
Whenever we have to end up retiring this podcast, we're definitely starting a prop betting podcast where we just random things start prop bets on. And of course, will of course always be a meta prop bet about the length of the prop bet podcast.
How many times will the word Mayan be said on Dick Clark's New Year's Rocket Eve? Or right. Ryan Seacrest,
exactly.
Whatever.
Indeed. All right, so that Twitter presence we talked about is at Tribal Podcast, but there is nobody manning
we're asleep at the wheel.
Yeah. And in theory, you can find us online at tc.vanb.net, although that website is currently down, per the aforementioned... conversation with tech support. And you can email us at what is it, podcast@tc.vanb.net. But again, I cannot currently check
that
email account
because they have suspended my account for foolish reasons, and I refuse to give them my
password. Is our string and tin can still up? Can they use that?
Yeah. You can also send mail to CBS to the CBS Studios Attention Tribal Podcast.
We've got Mark's here. Don't forget
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Mark Burnett will just forward that that right along to us.
All right. Well, hopefully some of those things happen in the next week. We'll see.
Actually, there's just a little urn that they put all of our mail in, and then Probst
along
gets
with
it.
A match.
Yeah. And Probst comes and scoops it up, and then he hops in a helicopter and flies it over. Come on, a la the finale?
No, I get it. They're moving away from that, though. You know,
that's really true. They did. That's true. That was very, very much the early seasons.
Yeah.
All right. Let's put this baby to bed.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, and thanks for tagging along for this brutal ending. But you know, have a good
it's
one.
All
we'll
good.
See you in a week. Great.